Welcome to LiveDoff, your online Dafyomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Dafyomi. Brachos Daf Yud Ches. We're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, at the beginning of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Mutal lefanav in, she'eni mutal lefanav loy. The Gemara is referring back to the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah, that one whose relative, whose close relative has passed away, one of the seven closest relatives mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Emor, for instance, one's parents, children, siblings, or a spouse, where he is responsible, he is chayav b'kfarasam, to look after their burial. So therefore he's considered to be oisik b'mitzvah, he's immersed in a mitzvah, and he's pati, he's exempt from doing other mitzvahs. Now if we'll take a closer look at the lashon, at the wording in the Mishnah says, Misha meisei mutal lefanav, the deceased, the meis, is present in front of him, then he is pater. Says the Gemara, let's make an implication here. Mutal lefanav in, v'she'ein mutal lefanav loy, only if the meis is in front of him, he's in the presence of the meis, then he's considered to be oisik b'mitzvah, but otherwise, if he is in a different room, then this halacha won't apply. For amini, we have a braisa which seems to indicate otherwise, that regardless if he's in the presence of the meis or not, he's still considered to be an oinein who is pater min hamitzvos. Says the braisa, misha meisei mutal lefanav, one who's deceased is lying in front of him, oichel b'bas acher, he must have his meal in a different room. It is not proper to engage in one's own personal physical needs in the presence of a meis. It appears as though he's ignoring the meis. It is considered to be loyig l'rosh, mocking a pauper. Mainly by Yisachar, if he has nowhere else to go, oichel b'beis chaveri, he finds a friend's house and that's where he eats. Mainly b'beis chaveri, if that is not an option, oichel mechitza b'oichel, he creates a partition, a mechitza between him and the meis, and then he eats. If he doesn't have anything to with which to create a partition, he turns away his face and eats when he's not facing the mace. But he cannot recline and eat. He eats neither meat nor wine. He doesn't need to say a bracha of hamotzi lechem on oretz ve'ene mezamen. He doesn't need to make a bracha achroina on the bread. He doesn't need to bench ve'ene varchan olav. And there's no need for somebody else to be mitzi him to make the bracha on his behalf. Ve'ene mezamen olav. He can't participate in a birchas hazimun. Upater, says the brayson, mikrishma. He's exempt from krishma. Umenat tefila, umenat tefillin, umikol mitzvos hamurayis b'torah. Since he is involved in the burial preparations, he is exempt from all other mitzvahs. So, right at this point, we already see that the halacha, this exemption from other mitzvahs, applies even if he's not exactly in the presence of the meis, even if he's bevayis acher, as the Brisa said, that he goes to a different home. So even if he's not lefanav, if he's not in the presence, actual presence of the meis, still we see in the Brisa that he's considered to be oinin and pater me'amitzvah. This itself is already a contradiction to the Mishnah. But the Gemara will simply continue with the Brisa, elaborate on it a bit, and then go back to the Kasha. Continues the Brisa, Ube Shabbos. If it is Shabbos, where he's not able to be involved in the burial proceedings, he can't do anything anyways, in that case, he can recline, he can eat basar, meat, drink wine, and he needs to make a bracha rishoyna, umezamein, he needs to make a bracha achroyna, umevarchan alav, one may exempt him, or maybe mitzi him from with a bracha, make a bracha on his behalf, umezamnan alav, and he can participate in a bracha sazimun, v'chayav, v'chol mitzvah, samurish v'torah. He's obligated to perform all the mitzvahs in the Torah since it's Shabbos, and he's not actively involved in the kvura of the mace. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, he adds one more thing. There's one more thing that will apply on Shabbos. Since he is obligated regarding these things, bracha and krishma, etc., he is also obligated in other things. What is the other thing that Rav Shimon Gamliel is referring to? What is the difference between the two views of the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel? What is the practical difference? Tashmi shamita ikbeinayu, marital relations with his wife, the chiv oina. That is the difference. That depends on the opinion of the Tanakhama and Shimon Gamliel. According to the Tanakhama, he is not chayiv b'tashu shamita according to Shem Gamliel, since he's obligated in other things on Shabbos, and includes also the chayiv oina and tashu shamita. Okay, so we've concluded the brisa. Now we'll go back to the contradiction. Katani miyis, in any rate, the brisa says as follows, that even when the oinen is not in the presence of the mace, nevertheless he's pater from the mitzvahs. Katani miyis, the brisa says, pater mikriyashma, umenat filin. So we see that in order for him to be potter, he's not required to be lefnei, right in front of the mace, in the presence of the mace. Even if he's not in the presence of the mace, he's in a different room or a different house, nevertheless, he assumes the same legal status as one who is in the presence of the mace. So this is a contradiction to the Mishnah, which states that only if the mace is muta lefanov, then he's considered to be potter min ha-mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, two answers. Omer Rav Papa, Tirgma Amachzer Panav Oichel, will interpret the Braisa, the Braisa which says that he is Pater Mikol Mitzvahs, that is referring to the case where he simply is turning around. The Braisa said before that if he needs to eat and he has nowhere to go, he can turn around and face a different direction and eat. On that case, on that scenario of a Machzer Panav, that is what the Braisa is referring to when the Braisa says that he's Pater Mikol Mitzvahs, since technically he's still in the presence of the mace. However, if one is in a different room altogether, in a different home, he is not in the presence of the mace, he is not Pater Mikol Mitzvahs. So, Rav Papa reconciles the Mishnah with the Braisa. They both hold the same thing. The Ptur of an Oinen is specific to a case where he is in the presence of the mace. That's teretz number one. Rav Ashi Amar, another teretz, another solution to the problem here. Kivan shemutal ol the koivroi, when the Mishnah says that the mesa is mutal lefanov, it doesn't mean literally mamish in front of him. What the Mishnah says it's mutal lefanov, it means that it's his responsibility to look after the kvura of the mesa. Rav Ashi Amar, Kivan shemutal ol the koivroi, it is akin, it is similar. We may use the terminology of mutal lefanov. It is in front of him, meaning, although not literally physically in front of him, but it is in the forefront of his mind. It is lefanov, it is in the front of his mind. He is focused on it, he's concentrating on it, he's preoccupied with it. So therefore, there is no stipulation that the mace needs to be physically, literally in front of him, even if he's in a different location, since he is responsible for the kvura of the mace, he's considered to be an oinen and pater min ha-mitzvahs. So there is a simple solution to this contradiction. It is not a contradiction to begin with. The Mishnah never mentioned anything about physically present in front of him. When the Mishnah said, Misha Mesa Mutal Fonov, it meant simply that it is in the forefront of his conscience. Shanema, where do we find the term Lefonov referring to a mental state rather than a literal state? Where do we find that when one is responsible to look after the kvura of a mace, that is considered to be that mesoi is lefanov, is in front of him, shenemar, like we find by Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. The pasuk says, Vayokim Avraham al pnei mesoi, he got up from the presence of this mace. And he went to speak to the bnei ches, to try to acquire a burial plot for Sarah Imenu. The pasuk then continues and says, Ve'ekvar mesoi lefanai, he's speaking to the bnei ches, he's asking to buy the plot of land up at the Maris Machpelah, and he says, I need it so that I can bury Mesi Milafonai, my dead, from in front of me. Now, he's not standing, he's not in the presence of Sarah Imenu. It already said that he got up, Ayakam Avram Apne Mesi, he already departed from his mace. So why are we using the words Ve'ekram Mesi Milafonai, from in front of me? Evidently, it simply means that Kol Zman Shemutal Olav L'Koivroi, so long that he is responsible to look after the kvura of the mace, kemutal lefanav dami, is considered to be lefanav. So in summary, we have two approaches here. We have Rav Ashi who holds that even if it's not in front of him literally, he is nevertheless considered a oinen, and all the halachas of oinen apply to him. We have Rav Papa's teretz that it is a requirement, only if the mace is actually in his presence, then he's considered to be an oinen with regard to Ptur Mikol HaMitzvahs. Now, how do we understand the basis for this dispute, for these opinions? It's interesting that Tosfos mentioned, what is the reason for the exemption of an oinen? Tosfos brings two reasons. Firstly, the obvious one, that Rashi quotes, that once a person is involved in a mitzvah, he's oisik b'mitzvah, he is looking after the kvura of the mace. Since he is oisik b'mitzvah, he is patur min ha-mitzvah. He's exempt from all other mitzvahs. Tosfos adds another reason in the name of the Yerushalmi, a very interesting reason, which says as follows. V'farish b'Yerushalmi. Loma, what is the reason for this p'tur? V'ka'amar, says the Yerushalmi, this is Tosfos on Yudayin, Amibayz on the bottom, three lines from the bottom, p'nei kvoy de'shal mace. Because of the honor on account of the kavod, of the honor that one must pay to the respect that one must pay to the mace, therefore he can't involve himself in other matters and other activities. It appears as though he's ignoring, neglecting the needs of the deceased. So it's an entirely different approach to the tour of Einin. Perhaps we can say that this is the basis for this machlekes. Rav Papa holds follows the second reason, that the primary reason why a oinin is potter is because on account of the kavod of the mace. He can't demonstrate, he can't give the appearance that he is ignoring the needs of the mace. Therefore, he can't involve himself in other mitzvahs. But that is strictly applicable to where the mace is literally in front of him. By involving in other activities in the presence of the mace, he's ignoring the needs of the mace. However, if Papa will be following the rationale of Oisik Mitzvah Patur Min Mitzvah, since he is involved, he's responsible, he is preoccupied with arranging for the burial, for the kvura, he is considered to be Oisik Mitzvah and Patur Min Mitzvah regardless of whether or not he's literally in the presence of the mace. Why would that determine the halacha of Oisik Mitzvah? He's engaged in preparing for the burial, whether or not he's literally in front of the mace or not. So perhaps that is the background for this machlekes. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah, the Braisa, used the term Mesoi, his deceased, meaning when he has a responsibility, an achrayis, to be covered this mace, to look after this person's burial. Then he is patur min ha-mitzvos. Aval mishamar eloi, but if he's merely guarding the mace, he's watching the mace, we know that one is required to have shmira, so that the animals don't approach the corpse. So if one is involved with shmiras hamace, he's guarding the mace, is that not a reason to exempt him from mitzvahs? It would appear from the Mishnah, dafka only if he's looking after the burial of the mace. But if it's just guarding a stranger, not a relative, where he does not have the responsibility of burial, this halacha wouldn't apply. But we have a braisa which tells us otherwise. V'hatani v'lintan braisa, shmiras hamace, one who's involved in guarding the mace, even if it's not his personal mace, it's not his personal his close relative, he's simply doing a mitzvah and guarding a mace. Patur mikrishma u'minatfilin u'mikol mitzvah samurus b'toira. So we see that even if one's merely being shomer a mace, that too is a reason to exempt him from the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, true, either one would be sufficient. Mishamroi afo b'sheinu mesoi. If one is guarding a mace, even if it's not his personal relative, that would be considered Oisik B'Mitzvah and Patur Min Ha-Mitzvah. And similarly, Meisoi, if it is his personal relative, his personal responsibility to look after the burial, Afa B'Sheinu Mishamrei, even if he's not presently watching the mace and guarding the mace. So true, it's not a contradiction. Either way, he's Patur. Whether he's physically, he's literally watching, guarding the mace, or if he's simply looking after the kvura of his relative. Either case, he's Oisik B'Mitzvah and Patur Min Ha-Mitzvah. Says the Gemara further, Meisoyu Mishamar in. Whether he's looking after the kvura or whether he's actually guarding the mace, he's patur min ha-mitzvah. Ava mahalach v'sakvaris loy, but one who is actually just simply walking through the cemetery v'sakvaris, that is not a reason to exempt him from mitzvahs. V'atani, we've learned in the Braisa that even if one is simply present in a v'sakvaris, he can't engage in the mitzvahs. One should not walk through a cemetery with tefillin b'roishai, wearing tefillin, carrying a sefer Torah v'koyrei, and learning Torah. What's wrong with doing this if one wears tefillin or learns Torah within close proximity of the kvarim? It is as though he is mocking a pauper and he is mocking Hashem, his creator, meaning that since the mace can't engage in the spiritual activities, so when one does so in the presence of a mace, of a kever, he's degrading the mace, he's mocking him, and therefore it's not something that's meant to be done. So we see here in the Braisa that one may not engage in these mitzvahs, even if he's not guarding a mace or looking after the burial of a mace, only simply walking through the cemetery. Says the Gemara, Hasam, that restriction is Toich Arba Amos. If it's within 4 Amos of the Kever, then he may not do these things. Since it appears as though he's being Leig L'Rush, he is making fun of the pauper of the mace. Hasam, again, Toich Arba Amos to the Aser. That is prohibited only if it's within Dalar Amos. Chutz L'Arba Amos Chai, but if he's outside, if he's more than 4 Amos, away from the kever, then certainly he's chayev to do these mitzvahs. Why? Damar mar, as we learned, mace, a deceased person, a kever, is toifes dalad amis l'krishma, seizes 4 amis for the halachas of krishma, meaning within 4 amis of a grave is considered to be the domain of the grave. Therefore, within those 4 amis, one may not engage in the aforementioned activities. But hacha, techus l'dalad amis namid pater. But if he is outside Dalad Amos, he's not so close to the kever, so in that case, the concept of a Loyag L'Rush, of mocking the pauper, will not apply. And he'd be allowed to learn, etc., daven, wear tefillin. But, hacha, in the case of one who is guarding a mace, or looking after the kvur of a mace, in this case, he is pater regardless of how close he's standing to the mace. Even if he's outside, past 4 Amos, he nevertheless is pater on account of him being involved in the mitzvah of kvura, the mitzvah of shmira, of the mace. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, we just learned, ha-meshamer sa-mace, one who is guarding a mace, afo b'she'ine mace, it's not his personal mace, it's not his relative, nevertheless, pater me-kriyashma, u-menat fila, u-menat filin, u-mekol mitzvahs, ha-mureis pater. Continues the Gemara. Hayu shnayim, if 2 people were engaged in shmira sa-mace, Zemeshamer, Vezekairi. So they need to take turns. Reuven and Shimon are watching a mace. We don't need 2 people to watch the same mace. So Reuven, while he's watching the mace, Shimon will go ahead and be Mekayim his mitzvahs, recite Krishma. Then they will alternate Vezemeshamer. Then Shimon will assume the post of a Shemer. Vezekairi and Reuven will go ahead and recite Krishma. So they take turns. Benazir Eimer, how you boim besvina? If they were coming, they were traveling in a boat, 2 people were traveling with a mace in a ship. Manicha bizavazu, then they can leave the mace simply in the corner. Umisfalim shnei mizavazacheres, they can both just leave the mace alone. There's no fear of any creatures coming to attack the mace. They can go ahead and leave the mace in the corner of the ship and go to the other side of the ship and say Krishma and daven. So there seems to be a machlekes between the Tanakhama, who doesn't discuss the scenario of the ship, and Ben Azai, who seems to come to teach us something regarding the ship. Mai Bunai, what is the difference between the Tanakhama and Ben Azai? Is there a dispute between them? Says the Gemara, yes. Amar Avina, choyshishan lachbar miki benayu. There's a difference in view regarding the concern for mice. Mar sova chayshinam, one holds that we are concerned regarding the arrival of mice even within a ship. The Tanakama's opinion is that even in a ship, there's a concern that mice will surface and attack the mace. Therefore, even in a ship, they cannot just abandon the mace, the corpse. They can't just leave him in the corner. There needs to be constant shmir, constant guarding of the mace. They need to take turns. One will watch while the other one will do his mitzvahs. Umar Sabar Ben Azai holds lechashinan. There's no concern for mice on a ship. They're not to be found, they're not commonly found on a ship, and therefore there's no concern. They may leave the mace in the corner on his own, without shmira, and they both can go to the other side of the ship and do their tefillah and krishma. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Rabban, Glutton Abrais. Ha-moylech atzomis v'makim l'makim. One who is traveling with bones of a mace, ha-reza le'itnim b'diskia, he should not place them in a sack, v'itnim v'gav v'chamur v'yikar v'leim. He should not place them in a sack and then put them on the donkey and ride actually on top of them. Since this is disrespectful, m'neisha noyeg b'hem minig b'zoyin, this is a lack of respect to the mace. However, if he was concerned about Gentiles that will attack, or from bandits, mutter, he can do in the aforementioned manner. He may put it on the donkey and sit on it in order to properly guard it from these elements. continues the Braisa, Ukaderach Sha'amr Ba'atzamais, just as we have dictated the halacha regarding the Atzamais of a maize, Kach Amr B'Sefer Torah, so too regarding one who is transporting a Sefer Torah. More will try to understand what this means. What is the comparison between Atzamais and a Sefer Torah? Ahai. What is this referring to? The Braisa began with the halacha that one must carry the Atzamais with great respect, but if it's inevitable, if he's required circumstantially to actually ride on them, to guard them, then he may do so. So when the Braisa concludes that the same halacha applies to a Sefer Torah, what does it mean? Is it referring to the ratio at the beginning of the Braisa, which requires respect? Says the Gemara, Ahai, even my ratio is referring to the first part of the Braisa, that one is obligated to respect the Sefer Torah to the utmost. Pshita, that's simple. Migora Sefer Torah, Matzomais, why would I think that a holy Sefer Torah has any lesser status than bones of a mace? Certainly if one must display the proper respect to Atzamais, of course to a Sefer Torah as well, and one may not sit on the Sefer Torah during transportation. Ella, but rather, a Seifa. The Braisa is teaching us that the halacha of the Seifa mentioned in the latter part of the Braisa, that if there's a concern regarding the presence of Goyim or bandits, then in that case one may actually sit on the Atzamais to guard them. So the Braisa informs us that the same din will apply to a Sefer Torah, since he is merely trying to protect the Sefer Torah properly, so it's not a display of disrespect. I actually once was on a plane and noticed somebody who was transporting a Sefer Torah, and he was holding it in his arm the entire trip, because that is the ideal, the preferred way of transporting a Sefer Torah. One is meant to hold on to it, bizroyai, a whole time. Continues the Gemara. Omar Ruchava Omar Yehuda. Kalaroya Hameis Veinim Alaveyu. One who sees the procession of a levaya, a funeral, he sees a mace. Veinim Alaveyu, he doesn't contribute, he doesn't escort the mace. The Mefarshim say it means at least four amis. Oyver Mishum Leig Larosh Cher Veseyu. He transgresses the pasuk, one who mocks a pauper, he mocks Hashem, he degrades Hashem. He is not paying heed, he's not being attentive to the needs of the mace. But if he does escort the mace, maschari, what is his reward? Or of Asi, all of Akosav Omer, on him, the pasuk says the following, Malve Hashem, Choynendal. Rashi says, we read, Melave Hashem, one who escorts Hashem, meaning he escorts a mace, one who escorts the mace is considered as if he escorted Hashem, as if he gave to Hashem. Since he is chinin dal, he is gracious to the dal, to the pauper, which is describing the mace. Umachabde chinin evyoin. So the Mefarshim say that the proper pasuk would be ugmulai yashivloi. One ugmulai ishalimloi. One who is malava the mace, he will be rewarded for his activities. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chia v'Rav Yonason havashakli v'ozo esakvaris. They were walking together. Rav Chia and Yonason were taking a walk through a cemetery. Havakushad yotchelta Rav Yonason. The tchelas, meaning referring to the tzitzis, which contains the blue thread, was actually dragging on the caver, on the grave. Amar le Rav Chia, Dalye, pick it up. Don't allow the tzitzis to come into contact with the caver. Kadesh le yomru, so that the mesim, the deceased people, shouldn't claim and say, how can you do this to us? L'machar bo'en etzleinu. Tomorrow, meaning in the future, you're going to come join us in the heavens. V'achshav machayf v'nasona, now you mock us, you're walking near us with your tzitzis, and you're displaying an act of a mitzvah, which is something we cannot perform, you are mocking us. Amar Leis, Rav Yonason responds to Rav Chia, why are you so concerned with the sensitivity of the mason? Are they aware of what's going on in this world? Amar Leis, miyadikuli hai, are they aware of the events that are taking place? V'oksiv ha-mason minim yoydim u'uma. People that have already passed away, they have no clue, they have no idea, they're not aware of the events that transpire in this world. So there's no concern with my tzitzis dragging onto the kvar. Amar Lei, so Rav Chia responds to him, Im Karisa, if you have read a pasuk once, Lei Shanisa, apparently you haven't repeated it, you haven't studied it in depth to fully comprehend and understand the meaning of the pasuk. Im Shanisa, if you've read it twice, apparently Lei Shilashta, you haven't read it a third time to really absorb the meaning of the pasuk. Im Shilashta, if you've read it three times, Lei Pirshalacha, apparently it wasn't explained to you properly. That the meaning of the pasuk that you quoted, V'ameisim enam yoidim uma is not referring to literally the ones that have already passed away, and the pasuk is saying that they are not aware of the events. That is not so. Meisim are indeed aware of the events that transpire in this world, and the pasuk that says meisim enam yoidim uma don't know of anything, it is referring to a totally different context. And explained as follows, that the pasuk says, the pasuk actually begins, the pasuk of v'ameisim enam yoidim uma begins as follows. The beginning of that pasuk is as follows: Ki achayim yoidim shemusu. The pasuk says Ki achayim yoidim shemusu, and then proceeds v'ameisim en yoidim uma. What is this pasuk referring to? Says Rav Chiya of Yonasan. It's referring to achayim, those that are alive. Yoidim shemusu, they're aware. They pay attention. They pay heed to the fact that they will pass away in the future. That living this, the life in this world is not unlimited. Is not endless. It will come to an end. The ones that are alive, that are spiritually alive, that are tzaddikim, they know that they will die, and they take care. They ensure that they do not get involved with negative things, with sin, with avera. They are fully aware of what's coming after this world. Elo tzaddikim, why do we call them chayim? Because they're always alive. They're so spiritual that even when they die, when they pass away, they undergo no transformation. Their spiritual essence that they've developed throughout their lifetime, their physical lifetime in this world, continues on into the next world. There's not much of a change going on. Their chayim that began here continues on in the next world. Even when they die, they're still considered to be a continuation of the same life. Mesasam nikru chayim. And these people know that they'll die. They're aware of the future. They pay attention. They take great care to conduct themselves properly. So that's the first part of the pasuk. And eventually the Gemara will say that the next part of the pasuk, v'ameisim, and yodimum is referring to rishayim that are considered to be meisim, and they don't pay attention to what's going to come next. So it's a lesson in life. It's a musar. It's a reproof. It's not referring to what you said about deceased people being aware of events in this world. It's referring to a totally different concept. Continues the Gemara. What do we find that a tzaddik is called chayim even upon his death? Shenemar. Ubnayo ben yayoda ish ben ish chay is the son of an alive person. Rav ba'olim, he did a lot, he accomplished a lot for Torah, for spirituality. Mekavtzel, he comes from the town of Mekavtzel. Huika shnei Ariel Moyav. He beat the two lions of Moyav, as she says, referring to the generations of the two Bat Hamikdash, Beis Hamikdash Rishon, Beis Hamikdash Sheni, which the Beis Hamikdash, it was built in the form of a lion. So the Gemara soon will explain what is the deeper meaning of the pasuk. V'hu yorad v'gasari, he beat the lion b'seichabor in the pit v'yamashelik on a day of snow. Explains the Gemara as follows. Ben Ishchai, he was a son of one who was alive. Says the Gemara, what do you mean he was a son of an alive person? Certainly his father was alive when he was born. Atikul alma b'nei meisaninu, what does it mean that he was a son of a chai? Is everybody else a son of a dead person? What is the pasuk trying to emphasize here? Ella ben Ishchai means that he is a son of Ishchai, that he is alive. He's always alive. Shafilu b'misasoi korichai. Even after he passes away, he's considered to be alive on account that he's a tzaddik, which even b'misasim, even after they pass away, they are still considered to be alive. Rav Paolim Mekavtzel, why is he considered to be one who had great achievements? Shariba, he increased the kibbutz Baal Matorah, he accomplished great achievements for the sake of Torah. Vahu Hikash Ne'aril Moyav means that he outbeat the two Ariel Moyav, the two lions of Moyav. Shaloi Hiniach Kamoisai, there was nobody that came close to his stature. Bloy b'migdash rishon, during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, v'lo b'migdash sheni, nor in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. So it means v'hu hika, he beat the two lions of Moyav, meaning there was nobody like him, neither in the generation of the first Beis Hamikdash, nor in the generation of the second Beis Hamikdash. Why is it called Ariel Moyav? Since it was built by David HaMelech, who came from Rus, who was a Moavite, who came from Moav. So that is what the person is referring to. He descended and he beat the lion inside the pit on a snowy day. What does this mean? Some say that Tavar Gzizi de Barda. He broke through the coating of ice in order to go down and immerse himself in the mikvah to purify himself from an impurity. He was Meisa Nefesh to such great extent. In the middle of the winter, when there was ice formed on the top of the bur, on top of the mikveh, he broke through the ice and he immersed himself in freezing cold water. Ikadamri, some say what it means is the Tana that he studied Sifra Deirav. This is Tiras Koyanim. These are the brises that explain Sefer Vayikra. He studied the entire Sifra Deirav, Yom Sitva, on a short winter day. So, in summary, we find a reference to a tzaddik as being a chai, alive, even after his passing. So that is the meaning of the first part of the pasuk, ha-chayim, yoidim she-yemusu, these are the tzaddikim, she-be-misasa nekur chayim, they'll always be considered to be chayim, and they pay attention to what's going to happen to them when they pass away, and they make sure to conduct themselves properly in this world. The ending of the pasuk is, ha-meisim einam yoidim uhuma, the people that died don't know anything, that is referring to elu rishayim, the wicked people, shebechayim kri mesim, even within the lifetime they're considered to be dead. They are so immersed in physicality that their spirituality is totally covered over and subdued. They're considered to be dead, spiritually dead. Shenemar, like you find in the pasuk, the Torah describes a rasha in his lifetime as being dead. V'ata chalal, one who is dead, rasha, a wicked person, see Israel. The Nasi of Israel is referring to Tadgio, that he was considered to be a rasha on account of him transgressing his shvua. So we see the term chala, that person, in relation to somebody who's alive since he is wicked. We find another source. According to the witness, on account of the testimony of two or three witnesses, the mace will die, the bezna will punish the wicked person who transgressed an avera. The pasuk is calling a person who is still alive with the term mace. The dead person will die. Evidently, we're speaking about someone who is still alive and we need to put him to death. Chayu, he's still alive. Why then does the pasuk say Yumas Hameis Ella Hameis Miikara? He was always dead. Since he's a wicked person, he was always spiritually dead. So in conclusion, what Rav Chiya was trying to point out to him was that this pasuk is to be studied and to be interpreted in an entirely different context with an entirely different meaning. Vameisim in Yedim Uma is referring to the Rishayim who don't pay attention to the fact that they will eventually depart this world and need to account for their life when they arrive in heaven. But it is not referring to the concept whether or not the Mesim are aware of events in this world. But certainly they are aware of events in this world, and we must be careful not to insult him or to degrade him, as he instructed him to remove his tzitzis from on top of the caver. Continues the Gemara, Bnei Rav Chiya, the children of Rav Chiya, Nafeg L'Kriyasa, they went out to the towns, to the villages, to attend to their estates. Yakil Tomodayu, eventually they forgot their Torah, and they were in great pain on account of what happened to them. Havakam Mitzari, they were in discomfort because they forgot their Torah. They wanted to remember the Torah, Havakam Mitzari Latkure, they wanted to remind themselves. Amalei Chad L'Chavrei, so they were conversing regarding this forgetfulness that overtook them, and they asked each other, Yoda Avon Bahitzara, does our father know what's going on to us? Is he aware of our pain? Amalei Idach Mena Yoda. So the other one responded, how could you suggest that our father knows? Our father has already passed away. V'oksiv, it says in the pasuk, Yichabdu Banav, Yichbudu Banav Leyeda. One whose children honor him, he's not even aware of it. So certainly our father doesn't know what's going on with us. Amr le'idach, so the other one responded, v'le'yada, how can you say he doesn't know? Haksiv doesn't say in the pasuk, ach v'sora yichav, olav yichav, the person who is nifter will have pain from his flesh, v'naf she'olav tevel, and he will mourn on account of his nefesh. And Rav Yitzchak interprets his pasuk to mean as follows, v'arav Yitzchak, it's referring to the person's flesh being attacked by the worms, kosherim u'lameis, the effect of the worms on the mace is severe, like kimachat b'basar chai, like a needle poking a person's flesh, a live person's flesh. So we see clearly that the pasuk is describing the pain that one who has already passed away from this world is experiencing. So we see that he is aware of events happening in this world. Amri, so he responded and said, no, there's a difference. But tzara did hu yadi. They are aware of their own tzar, of the tzar that is transpired, that they are, the events that are they're experiencing themselves. But tzara dachvina liyadi. But events that are taking place by others, amongst others in this world, of those events, they... So in conclusion, Rav Chiya holds, Mesim are aware. Rav Yonason holds, no, they're not. They're only aware about tzara didhu, their own personal pain, but not events that occur with others. Says the Gemara Veloy, is that so? Vatanya, listen to the story. Ma'asa b'chased echad. There was a story with a devout person. Shenosan dinar la'ani b'erev Rosh Hashanah. He gave away his last coin on Erev Rosh Hashanah of a famine year b'shnei batzoyres. He gave away tzedakah. V'kinitasa ishta, his wife wasn't too happy about it. And she teased him. V'holach v'lon b'beis akvaris. So he went to sleep in the beis akvaris to figure out what to do, how to gain some parnasa. He overhears a conversation taking place between two spirits. One tells a friend, "Chaverti, my friend, let's roam the world. Let's see what Hashem decides on Rosh Hashanah now. What is going to come? Let's hear from behind the curtain from the Shekhinah what tragedy will befall this world in the coming year." Amr lo chaverta, so her friend says, "No, I can't join you, sorry. Eini nechayla. Sha'ani kvuru machzel shalkanem, because I'm buried very meagerly in a mat made of reeds. I'm not properly attired. Ela lechiat, go yourself. Umashat shemas, what you'll overhear, come back and imrili and relate to me." Hol chahi, she went, v'shata, she roamed, uba, v'amr lo, she returned. V'amr lo chaverta, and her friend said to her, "Amr lo chaverta, chaverti, my friend. Ma shamat machayar pargut, what did you hear?" Amrla, she said, "Shamati, I heard, one who plants in the first season of rain." Rashi says there are three stages of the rain season. One is the 17th of Cheshvan, the next one is the 23rd of Cheshvan, the third is on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So whoever plants early, Borod Malka Oisai, when the hailstorm will arrive later, his produce will have developed enough, had become stiff enough to be chopped down, knocked down by the hailstorm. So what did the chassid do? He took a cue. Halachu bezarvari yishnia. He delayed his planting. He planted only at the second rain season. And he wasn't affected by the hailstorm because his produce was still soft and pliable and was not destroyed by the hail. So what happened? Shekola ulam kulei laka. The whole world's produce was destroyed, but not his. Shaloi loy laka. He was spared. The next year again, l'shana acheres, halach v'lam beis akvaris. He went to sleep in the beis akvaris. And again, v'shama yisun shtei ruchais, he heard those spirits, shema saproi zuim zu, that are conversing. Omer chad l'chaveret, her friend tells her friend, and she says, "Boi v'nishet bo'ilam, let's roam the world. V'nishma mechaya paragud, let's overhear from behind the curtain, ma puranus bo'ilam, this year, what misfortune will befall the world?" Omer la, so she told the chaverti, "My friend, loika chamartach, didn't I already tell you I can't join you? Eilu yechoyla, I can't, shanik vura v'asel shalkanim, because I'm dressed with a mat of reeds, ela lechiat, go yourself, v'mashat shemas, what you'll hear, boi v'imili, come and tell me." So she did so, holcha, she went, v'shata, she roamed, v'ban, she returned. V'am lechaverti, and her friend says, "Okay, chaverti, my friend, what did you hear? Ma shamat mechoyah pargut." Amra, so she says, "You know, this year, the plan was reversed. Shamati, I heard, Shekhlazareh Babi Yashniya, one who plants late at the second rain season, Shidofan Malka Oisai, a blast of dry wind will destroy his produce." So this man took you, and what he did was he outsmarted the system again. Holach Bahazar Babi Yashina. So he planted early at the first rain season, and therefore his produce was already more fully developed and wasn't affected by the dry blast of dry air which will come later on and will affect the whole world, which this year planted late, since they saw that the ones who planted late last year were successful, so they followed in the following year and they planted again late. And therefore when the Shidofen arrived, Shidofen only affects very, very young produce when it's still just fresh, very young and soft. Therefore, their produce was destroyed, but his that was planted earlier was already more developed and was not affected. So what happened? Shalkala oilam kulei nishtav. The whole world's produce was destroyed. V'shaloi loi nishtav, and his was spared. Armali ishtav, his wife says, you know, she was impressed. How did you become such a successful farmer overnight? How come last year the whole world's produce was destroyed and not yours? And this year, so he told her the whole story. Continues the Gemara, Amru. A very short time passed. There was a quarrel that erupted between this man's wife, from the wife of this devout person, between the wife and the mother of that young woman. Amrullah, so the wife of the chassid wanted to insult that mother, and she says, come, I'm going to show you, bitech, your daughter, she's buried very meagerly, with a reed of a mat of reeds. Okay, then is the Gemara. The Shana Acheres. The next year again, he tried his luck. Halach v'lom Beis Hakvaros. He went to sleep in the Beis Hakvaros. V'shama again, Oysen Ruchos, those spirits, Mesapris, Zumazu, conversing with each other. Amr Allah. So she told the Chaverti, my friend, Boi v'noshet v'olam, let's roam the world again. V'shmachoyah Paragud, let's over here. Ma'puronos v'olam, what's planned for this year? Amra, so she said, Chaver to my friend, Hanichani, let me, leave me alone. Dvarim shebenidu benoch, the conversation that we had apparently has become known to the living. Kvar nishmu ben achayim, because of that conversation that discussed the matter of reeds, apparently somebody had overheard our discussion. Amal yadi, see, apparently they know about the conversation that transpired in this world. So we see from here that they know about the events that take place in this world. So Zumar, that is not a proof, Dilma perhaps. You know how they knew? They found out through a person that had overheard that conversation and then passed away and went up and told them. Somebody passed away and related to them the conversation that he heard in this world, but not necessarily do Mesim or Nesim aware of events. Tashma, let's bring another proof. Diziri have a mafkit gabe zuzi gabe gabe ushbezichei. He entrusted money by his landlady. By the time he came back from Beis Medrash, Shechiva, she passed away. And he needed his money. He followed her to the cemetery. Amrullah, and he announced, Zusi Eicha, where's my money? Amrullah, she responded, Zil Shaklinu, go take it from Mitusi Bitsinura, the dash from underneath the hinge of the door, Biduchplan, on this and this place. And as well, she added, please pass a message to my mother. Ve'emula li'ima, tell my mother that she should send me something. Tishtali, send me masrekoi, my comb, the givsoi, the kuchlan, the tube of cosmetics. She should send it along, bahadi planisa, with this woman, the asya lamacha, that will be arriving tomorrow in heaven. Rashi says it was an expression of mourning since she died young. In any case, it seems like she knew who was planning on coming to heaven. Al-Muyadi, apparently they're aware. Says the Gemara, no, Duma perhaps. Duma, there was a Malach Duma who used to bring the spirits up to heaven. Kodem Omachazlu, he announces before he brings these spirits, and this time he announced that he's bringing her, so she knew on that account, but not on her own. Tashma, let's bring another proof. Davud de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, his name was Abba. Havga Mafka de Gabezuzi de Asmi. They had entrusted in his care money of Yisoimim, of orphans. Kinach Nafshi, when he passed away, lo yehav Shmuel Gabei. Shmuel wasn't present when he passed away, and he didn't ask him, he didn't get a chance to ask him where he had hidden the money. So the money was never returned to the Yisoimim. Hava kakarle bar ochel zuze di asmi. They referred to him with a derogatory term, the son of one who consumes the money of Yisoimim, since he hadn't returned the money. So he was desperate and he wanted to know where the money was. Azla Basrei, he went after his father, Chatzamavis, to the cemetery. Amr Lutzi announced to the deceased, Beina Abba, I'm looking for Abba. Amr Lutzi, Abba Tuvikacha, there are many Abbas, who do you want? Amr Lutzi, Beina Abba Bar Abba, I need Abba, the son of Abba, that was his name. Amr Lutzi, they responded, Abba Bar Abba Nami, Tuvikacha, there are many such people with such names. Amr Lutzi, Beina Abba Bar Abba, I'm looking for Abba Bar Abba, Abu the Shmuel, the father of Shmuel. Heycha, where is he? So now they knew exactly who he was, and they told him, Amrlay, Salakum was sifted Rukhi, went up to the heavenly assembly, we'll go get him for you. Adachi, in the meantime, Chazi Levi saw that the Neshama of Levi was sitting outside the Masifta. The Yosef Abroi was standing outside the circle of Mason. Amrlay, he says, why? Why is it so? Amai Yosef Abroi, why are you sitting outside? My time, Amrlay Salkas, why don't you go inside? Amrlay, it's a punishment. Amrlay, because they told me, Kol Kihanach Shani, all those years, Amrlay Salk, Likas Lamasifta the Efes, that I had not entered the yeshiva of Rev Efes. This is a story related in the Gemara and Ksuvis. So I had not entered its Beis Medrash, and Achlishi Ledaita, I caused them Agmas Nefesh, I caused them pain. So on account of that, Loi Ma'alinen Loch, Lamasifta Rukia. all those years, those number of years, you will have to stay outside the heavenly assembly as a punishment. In the meantime, the father of Shmuel arrives. Chazi, so Shmuel notices his father, davaka bachi, he was crying, and he was laughing. Amrle, my time of kabachis, why are you crying? Amrle, it's because the la'agal ka'asis, I know that soon you're going to pass away and come here, so I'm crying. And if so, my time achichas, why are you laughing? The chashiv is by halmatuva, you are held in a very high esteem in this world. Amrle, if that's so, that I'm held in such high esteem, yichashivne, if I'm important, nailua lelevi, they should include Levi in the Masifta Derekia on my merit. And they did so, ailua lelevi. Amrle, so Shmuel asked his father, Zuzi di yas mehecha, where is the money of the assignment? Where did you hide it? Amrle, I'll tell you where it is. Zishal klinu ba'amsa derechayad, they're sitting by the base of the grinder, and there are three layers of money. Eloiv tatoi didan, the top and bottom layer are ours. Umitzi, the middle layer, belongs to the Yisraelim. Amalei, he said, my time of the Sachi, why did you sandwich it in this manner? Amalei, I figured, ignuvi ganvi, if the thieves will come and grab some money and run, biganvu medidan, they'll take the top layer, which is ours, and the Yisraelim's money will be safe. Yoach achla ara, if the moisture on the earth will corrode the money, it will do it to our money that is lying directly on the earth, the bottom layer. Medidan, achla medidan. And the money of the Yisraelim will stay safe. So that's the explanation, and that is the location. So we deduce from here, Alma Diyadi, that he knew that Shmuel was arriving. So apparently they made him know about events. Says the Gemara, Dil Mashani Shmuel. Shmuel is different. Given the Chashev, since he's so important, Kadmi Miyomachrasi, they announce in heaven, Panu Mokaim, clear the way. So that's how he knew. So in summary, are Masim aware of events? Rav Chiya holds, yes, they are fully aware. One of the sons of Rav Chiya held the same view. However, his brother, the other son of Rav Chiya, disagreed. He held, Masim are not aware only if it is Sarah the two of their own personal pain, or if the Malach Duma comes to announce, I am bringing in Yeshama, or if somebody passes away and relates to them something, or finally, if there's an announcement, clear the way for a tzaddik. Continues the Gemara of Af Reb Yonasan Hadarbe. Even Reb Yonasan retracted his position. Explains the Marsha, Reb Yonasan was the one who held an extreme position. He held that a mace is not aware of anything except for their own personal pain. Even a Malach Duma or an announcement would not be sufficient to inform a mace of an event. And Reb Yonasan eventually retracted. The Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Omar of Yonasan, Minayin lo mesim shem mesaprim zemze. Where do we find that Mesim converse with each other? Shenemar, Vayoyimar, Hashem Elov, Hashem instructed to Moshe. Zoyis ha'oretz asher nishbati l'Avram, l'Yitzchak, l'Yakiv, Leymar. This is the land that I had promised to the Avos. Leymar, say. Says the Gemara, my Leymar, what does he mean by Leymar, say? Omar HaKadosh Baruch l'Moshe. Hashem instructed Moshe. Leich emor lehem. Go tell them, go inform them. L'Avram, l'Yitzchak, l'Yakiv. That shvuah shenishbati lochem, the promise that I promised you, kvar kiyamti levneichem, I've kept my word, I've granted Eretz Yisrael to your children. Now, if the ones that pass away don't know anything, so when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, this was told to him right before he passed away, so when he passes away and goes and tells the Avos, ki amar lehu mai havi, they don't understand, except for their own personal pain, they don't understand. So this is a proof that they do. Ela mai, says the Gemara, if you'll say the Yadi, that they do know, if so, why does he need to inform them at all? They would know on their own. Says the Gemara, yes, even though they know, still Hashem wanted to inform them, so that they show appreciation, that they feel appreciation to Moshe on account of having troubled himself to inform them this great news.